They call it the Devil's Triangle, where compasses spin, planes vanish, and ships disappear without a trace. We're here in Crew's Cabin 13, what secrets lie beneath these waves? Listen close, because what you're about to hear might just make you question everything. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
This week, we're setting sail back in Crew's Cabin 13 on a new adventure. Like we promised you guys with our first episode out at sea, Crew's Cabin 13 is a special Macabre Mondays series that is a themed set of episodes we bring you every time we're out, you guessed it, at sea. And anytime we set sail, we dive into mysteries, crimes, or spooky tales tied to the world of the open ocean. And yes, you might be wondering, damn, they're out on a cruise again? Yes. Yes, we are. What ship are we on this time, babe?
Well, let's see if they can guess it, just based off some tunes.
Yeah, before we tell them.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm searching for my lost shaker and salt.
Okay, that's a good guess. You want me to do the second one?
All right, do the second. Right.
It's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
Have you ever had a cheeseburger? But
Chance
in paradise?
Burger in paradise.
Well, that's a dead giveaway.
Is that how the song is?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never really listened to it, so. Well, anyways, if you guys haven't guessed it, we're on to Margaritaville. Margaritaville at sea. So much fun. And I honestly, we had to do a little guessing game with you guys because I love guessing games and mystery boxes. It's my absolute favorite. I don't gamble. I don't place bets. But when it comes to mystery boxes,
if we're in Hot Topic, five and below,
the Disney
box,
pin store,
what is it? Box lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Box lunch.
Any of those that have those little mystery pouches.
Yes.
100%. If you're ever losing Ale and you can't figure out where she went, just go into one of the stores. Look where the mystery stuff is. You probably will find her there.
Yes. And even, what is it? I love the pins, the mystery pins. Oh, my God. I'm a sucker for mystery pins.
You're a sucker for it. But then you get so upset anytime that it's not the pin.
Yeah, I do.
Because here's the issue.
It's an adrenaline
she
rush.
She looks at the box first. And I tell her, don't look at the box. Just open it and be surprised. But then she looks and she's like, well, I'd be happy with this one, this one, this one, this one, but not that one. I mean, I'd be okay with it. And then guess what happens? She opens it and it's the one she didn't want.
Yes. And then I'm upset. But you know what? That's probably what gambling feels like, because when I do get the one that I want, oh man, it's like a rush through my body. I'm like, yeah, oh, this is
introducing good. New addiction.
Literally mystery pin boxes. No, but we're recording this episode somewhere within the infamous Bermuda Triangle. Dun, dun, dun.
But are we going to ever come back?
I mean, I hope so. So if you're listening to this, we're probably... Somebody had to edit it. Somebody had to break it down. Somebody had to schedule it.
They recovered it from the wreck. And they said, oh, we'll keep the legacy going.
They're like, you know, this would be really good for research. So yeah, we're gonna like, what dumbasses? Who would go out to the Bermuda Triangle and record an episode?
Why would they talk like that?
I don't know, but it's just it's silly. No, just kidding. We're not in the Bermuda Triangle, but we are talking about the infamous triangle that is also known as the Devil's Triangle.
I've never actually heard of it referred to as that. So
right?
That's,
okay.
That's new. Yeah.
Me either. I've heard of it like Bermuda Triangle or the Triangle. That's about it. But I've never really heard of it any other way than that.
Yeah. And honestly, it's... As you guys can guess, this is something that's pretty well known. I feel like a lot of people know of the Bermuda Triangle. Maybe not all the conspiracies and theories that go into it, but I remember growing up, I feel like it's not been as talked about recently.
Recently, I feel like I don't hear about it anymore.
But I remember growing up, I used to dough on such deep dives between the Bermuda Triangle and Area 51. If the FBI was watching my browser history, that was all my browser history was ever. It was just Area 51, Bermuda Triangle.
Wow, let's dive in. Mm-hmm. Pun intended.
Okay.
Me with
Leave
the dad
the cheesiness
jokes.
And dad
Cheesy
jokes
dad
to
jokes.
Me.
Yes, I will. All right, well, this vast, roughly triangular area is located in the western North Atlantic Ocean, which is defined by Miami, Bermuda, and San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Bermuda. Bahama.
Come on, pretty mama. Kilaro
Montego. Copyrighted.
Anyways, it's about the size of Alaska, and it's just an insane thought because I looked it up, and Alaska is over 600,000 square miles, which is about the size of Texas, California, and Montana combined.
Texas, you ain't the biggest anymore.
So that's insane, though, if you think about it. That's the size of the Bermuda Triangle. That's a vast, vast area. Okay, we're talking like Texas, California, and Montana. That's huge. Those are huge, huge states.
That's pretty big.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting that Montana exists. I'm like, yeah, I know it's a state, but it's also in that area. That does anyone actually live there?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If you're from Montana, leave a comment.
Well, if you're from Montana, let us know what places we should go see, paranormal or not, or true crime or whatnot, because the photos I see all of Montana are absolutely stunning, stunning, stunning. I feel like I could revitalize my life again if I went to Montana. So what's the big deal with this Dorito chip-shaped part of the ocean, right? Dorito chip. What's the legend behind this, right? It's the mystery itself really just comes from the sheer number of ships and planes that have vanished here, seemingly without a trace. It's been called the Devil's Triangle and Hurricane Alley, but most of us know it as the Bermuda Triangle. The worries really started to gain traction in the mid-20th century, but the mysteries go back much further than that. All the way back to Christopher Columbus. The Pinta, the Mina, the Santa Maria. Like you drink a sangria.
Did you touch my drumstick?
Literally. During his first voyage to the New World, he sailed right through this area. His logs are unsettling, to say the least, because he actually noted strange compass readings, erratic weather, and even great flames of fire. I know. What's that song?
Great Balls of Fire?
Yeah, that one.
From rain, Top Gun, rain, rain, I think, right? Rain. Oh, that's not what I was singing.
What are you singing?
Lord of Mercy and Great Balls of Fire.
I like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a good one. Sure.
I think that's from Top Gun.
Well, he recorded great flames of fire, seeing those things crashing into the sea. And his crew reported seeing really weird lights and this type of glowing horizon. So weird, right? Interesting. Yeah. Odd. Strange. Spooky. Creepy. Ominous.
Macabre.
Macabre, exactly. So now I want us to talk numbers. Well, actually, they're aren't really any specific numbers because it's kind of hard to get a precise count of disappearances, clearly. But we're talking hundreds of ships and planes that we know of and potentially thousands of lives lost over the years and actually probably decades because of the Bermuda Triangle. Okay.
I mean, think of how long it's been around.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the ocean. So, yeah, she's been there for a while.
How long's the ocean been there?
She lived there. Yeah, she lived there. But from those survivors who have made it through the Triangle of Death, they have reported the ones that have survived it and are, you know, make it through. Because there's
alive.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that go through the Bermuda Triangle and make it out alive. We'll get into it. But from those survivors who have made it through the Triangle of Death, they have reported feeling disoriented and suddenly inexplicable equipment failures. So what's the lore? Why this specific area? You know, what's at the core of the mystery? The origin of the phenomenon is debated, but it's clearly captured the imagination for decades. Sailors and pilots initially dismissed it as bad luck or coincidence at first, but the sheer volume of disappearances that came made it impossible for everyone to ignore. There are plenty of theories. I'm sure we've all heard them left and right. Some are scientific, some not so much. One popular theory, so now we're getting into it, okay? This is theory number one. Okay. One popular theory involves the Sargasso Sea. Now, the Sargasso Sea, have you ever heard of that?
No, that's why you guys can't tell, but I cocked my head like a little dog.
You're like, rawr?
I looked like our little Phoebe.
Rawr?
Huh?
Rawr. Well, now, the Sargasso Sea is named after the free-floating sargassum seaweed that accumulates there in the Bermuda Triangle.
Interesting. Now,
yeah, this seaweed forms large mats that can stretch for miles and miles apart. And historically, these mats posed a significant hazard to sailing ships. This region within the triangle is known for its thick mats of sargassum algae. It's said ships can get trapped in this mass. However, the Sargasso Sea is a real phenomenon, and it's kind of a unique ecosystem because, unlike most seas, the Sargasso Sea has no boundaries. Like, literally, instead, it's just defined by the four ocean currents: the Gulf Stream, the North Atlantic Current, the Canary Current, and the North Atlantic Equatorial Current. Okay. So you'll find it within that those four seas. Now, early sailors, including Mr. Christopher Columbus, the Pinta, the Mina, the Santa, encountered the sargassum seaweed and found it difficult to navigate through it. The thick mats could impede or even trap ships, especially those relying on wind power. So imagine that. And also imagine, you know, the combination of dense seaweed and calm winds created, you know, the sense of dread among early sailors who feared being trapped indefinitely. Now, obviously, this historic fear that has contributed to the overall aura of mystery surrounding the Bermuda Triangle. Okay. So while the Sargasso Sea's physical characteristics could explain some historical shipwrecks, it's unlikely to be the only cause of all the disappearances within Bermuda Triangle because, however, it's just one of the complex puzzle pieces, and clearly there's many other theories that exist. So we can scratch that because you also got to think about it.
Yeah.
Back then, this definitely, think about the type of boats that were being made.
Yeah.
You know, and
most
down
of them
to
were
that.
Also sailboats too. So, I mean.
So imagine a thick, let me show you a photo. Imagine this like thick algae, and we're talking about like miles and miles and miles apart.
Yeah, see, for sailboats, that I don't think that would cause an issue because you don't have something spinning, more or less. You're still getting kind of pushed, so the sailboat, I feel like, could maybe push through that.
Well, but the thing is, it's so thick and dense that
it's,
there have been ships like that would either slow them down or kind of like just stop them in their tracks, and they wouldn't be able to move. So,
no, because I'm thinking like propeller ships, like for example the cruise ship we're on,
right?
I think of that and I immediately think to,
well,
if
now
that
it's
were
not
to
a
get
big
under,
now it's not that big of a deal because of, you got to think about, like you're saying, the modern cruise ships, modern boats.
Oh, that's not where I was going.
Oh, where are you going with that?
Because with the propellers, if stuff like that's so thick that it doesn't get like chopped up or pushed out, it can get wrapped around the propeller and cause it to get stuck and jammed.
Well, that's the thing. If you think about how boats and sailboats and ships back then used to be built, I'm sure now, you know, they take that into account, especially if you're going on sea trips. I'm sure they know these things about the ecosystem, and they're like, oh, we're going to be passing by, let's say, the Bermuda Triangle or these four oceans, and one of the problems that we see there is a sargassum sea. So I'm sure that's something that takes into account. But yes, exactly what you're saying. I mean, imagine that back then could clearly take a boat out.
Oh, for sure.
So there's another theory, theory two, and it's about methane hydrates, which is a massive underwater landslide and rogue waves. Okay. Now, methane hydrates, for example, are pockets of methane trapped in ice on the sea floor. They're like ice-like solids that form with methane gas gets trapped within a crystal structure of water molecules. Yes.
I think I've seen videos of ice fishers up in like Alaska and stuff. They'll see stuff like this, and I feel like I've watched them put like a lighter above it when it starts happening, and then it catches on fire and you hear like you see all the bubbles bubbling out.
Pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
Right? Okay.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So that's like the hydrate mounds on the seafloor, and then the methane hydrate deposits below the seafloor.
Below.
Right. And okay. I'll post photos, obviously, like everybody knows, on social, so you can go in and take a look. But if they were to suddenly release, they could actually create huge bubbles that could sink ships or down planes even. A ship caught within such a bubble would actually experience a sudden loss of buoyancy and could sink rapidly.
Really?
Yeah, because these are like, we're not talking about little bubbles that we...
Then that's not what I've seen.
Okay, well,
those videos are small bubbles.
Well, if you think, imagine that, but in a vast open ocean. So I mean, they can get bigger than that, right?
That's wild.
And that's the thing, that they could release also, that release could also alter the density of the air above the ocean and potentially could even affect aircrafts and causing them to lose lift.
That would make sense.
Yeah, but we're talking, it'd have to be some pretty big bubbles. Like, we're talking huge, huge bubbles, okay? Now, they occur in environments with high pressure and low temperatures, typically on the ocean floor and in permafrost regions. So while the methane hydrate theory is plausible, there's really no conclusive evidence to confirm that methane releases have caused all the disappearances in the Bermuda Triangle, right? So scientific studies have not really confirmed recent massive methane releases in this region, but it is worth just noting that many researchers believe the large gas hydrate releases have not occurred in the Bermuda Triangle for quite some time. So this could,
it could have maybe accounted for some ago, but not many recently.
Yeah, like it's not something that's on their radar. Like, oh shit, you know, the methane hydrates are back at it again.
Oh shucks, oh, Scooby Doo, and the crew, the mystery machine. We need you guys to come out and figure out who's behind these methane gases.
Exactly.
Why did it just go so country?
I don't know.
Scooby Doo is not country.
I think it's because we're on the Margaritaville at sea. So that's theory. I know, we also just watched a bunch of people do the achy breaky heart dance.
I just want to specify, they were guided and instructed how to line dance by a Colombian.
Yes, yes.
Who did very good at showing them how to line dance.
Oh my God, I didn't go up there, but I was learning how to do it from sitting down. And I'm proud to say I could do the achy breaky heart right now. I could.
Heel, heel, toe, toe. Heel.
Ho, till, side, ho. Oh.
Ho.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
Right. We've got theory one.
Yes.
Right. So far, it was the Sargassum Sea.
Yes.
Okay.
Theory two.
Was the methane hydrate bubbles, right? Huge,
explosive
huge.
Bubbles.
Right. Now, we're going on theory three, which we're starting to get into some of those paranormally theories. Ooh. Yes.
The Kraken? Well, Kraken's not.
No. Well, the Kraken could be anywhere. No, but we will cover the Kraken at one point.
The Kraken.
And Moby Dick. Yes.
Well, Moby Dick too?
I don't know. Why not? Let us know if you guys are interested in either or. We'll do sea creatures. Why not?
Yo-ho.
Okay, so moving on to theory three. There are, from what I've been reading, stories of ghost ships.
Okay, this is actually ominous.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am thinking of that song.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe I'll insert it.
The little yo-ho song?
Yes. So, have you ever heard of Ellen Austin, the ship?
No.
Okay, well, like the Ellen Austin in 1881, which reportedly encountered another ship drifting with no one on board. They tried to take it in tow, but it vanished before they even got a chance to. Ghost ships are actually a whole other maritime legend and myth that we'll, again, have to cover in another Cruise Cabin 13 episode. But this one's really famous because of, like I said, they coming across a ghost ship. Okay. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yes, there's really not much more to that other than they saw a ghost ship. Right. Which is interesting. Yeah. But there's a lot of other accounts of people saying that. And it even reminded me of Pirates of the Caribbean, which I think it was like Dead Man Tells No Tales or something.
Oh, yes.
And they have like ghost ships and stuff like that. So I'm sure obviously that movie derived from the maritime legends and myths and stuff. But it's interesting because everything has to derive from somewhere. And obviously it's the truth. Like, they've definitely seen it.
You had never seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
I know, but I've seen it now. Yeah, let's move past that.
Phenomenal.
It is really good. Well, now, Flight 19 is one of the most famous disappearances at the time. On December 5th of 1945, five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers took off from Naval Air Station Fort Lauderdale on a training mission. Now, 2 hours into their exercise, the lead pilot reported disorientation. Then all five planes vanished, nowhere to be found. They then sent a search and rescue seaplane, a PBM Mariner, and it also disappeared 27 minutes into its voyage.
Would 27 minutes put it further into the Bermuda then?
Yeah, well, if you're thinking about it, they're off in the Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
So
they're
already
touching it.
Touching it. So, yeah. And they are trying to go in the last location of where they last saw the, you know, the last five planes were reported missing. So that makes all six planes. That means 27 men gone. No wreckage, no bodies, nothing.
That's so eerie.
It is. So another popular disappearance was the Star Tiger and Star Ariel planes, which are two British South American Airway planes that vanished in 1948 and 1949, two separate years.
Wow.
Now that is just so eerie. And it makes me think about flying through. I mean, we wouldn't fly through that, but
part of it and part of it's taken me back, and I'm assuming we'll probably get into this next theory, because I remember one of the documentaries I watched years and years and years ago, there was a pilot that like flew through and he showed how on his little plane that had none of the
We'll get into it.
Oh, all right.
We'll get into it. Now that leads us into theory four.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Tom. Modern day pilots flying in there today say that when they fly into the triangle, their compasses go haywire. Is that what you're mentioning?
Yes, yes. Because he showed and his compass was spinning.
Yes, yes. No, I agree. I agree. And if you rely solely on them, then you're pretty much in trouble. Okay. And I watched the same documentary that you're talking about right now, and it was on the History Channel. It was an episode on the Bermuda Triangle. Is that the one you watched?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. Well, they interviewed Jordy, which is a pilot from Florida who has flown into the triangle several times before. And a lot of his family and the generations also have flown in there. So it's kind of like a generational thing, he says. Yeah.
All right. You were born. Next step. You got to fly through the Bermuda and survive it.
So he flew with the History Channel crew in a plane with similar equipment to those used in the 70s planes that went missing. Right, and all the stuff that was stacked in those planes. And he stated, not even he stated, he was showing us, because they're in this plane with him flying through the Bermuda Triangle, and he stated that without experience, you're pretty much gone. You're disoriented, you're going to go nowhere, right? He even talks about there being intense fogs, and that could be something that causes planes to crash.
I didn't even think about that.
Yes, and in the everybody go watch it. It's actually really good. I think it was only like 45 minutes. But in the time that they're in the plane, they go through an intense fog. Like there's nothing on their radar.
I remember. Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's nothing on their radar that states this type of weather. It's just something that just like showed up.
Yeah.
And in the video, while they're flying through, they came across that intense fog, like I was saying. And it was, no joke, clear as day. And then in a snap, you couldn't see anything.
Just surrounded.
Yeah, you couldn't see anything. And his compass was going haywire. Like, it got all messed up. It was all out of whack. So, really, if you don't know your way around, you can definitely get disoriented and crash easily. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, imagine just being stuck in the fog. Even because if I recall, even his, like, altitude gauge was flipping up and down.
Yes. Everything.
And to me, that leads you to also think, if you're in fog, you don't know how close you are to the water until next thing you know, you might
be in the water. Exactly.
But that to me doesn't answer for the ships. The fog kind of does, but then I wonder, well,
how do ships just disappear? Yeah, no, exactly. I feel like there's just a bunch of different theories that correlate with, because to me, I'm like, there's Sargassum Sea, okay, ships, but that doesn't really affect planes. And then I think about the methane hydrate bubbles, and I'm like, okay, that may be the ships. And it says it could affect planes, but I'm like, man, you have to be at the perfect time, at the perfect place, in the perfect area for the bubbles to just like come up and somehow
engulf your plane.
Well, somehow like mess up your air, whatever frequency up there. And then you end up crashing. It's just, it's just too perfect for it to be how many disappearances that we are being noted. Right. Yeah. But technology back then versus now is obviously a huge difference. Navigation and communication are far more advanced now, clearly. But even with modern technology, there are still reports of those type of anomalies, right? Now, with these anomalies, the thing, which is the thick, dense fog that I mentioned, we'll talk about, I want to mention Columbus's findings and journal entries, because he even stated that his compass was going crazy, which points to magnetic anomalies, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a theory about a submerged volcano near Bermuda with the lava being rich in magnetite. Now, magnetite is a mineral known for its strong magnetic properties. Some researchers believe that the concentrated magnetite could create powerful magnetic fields that interfere with the compasses and navigation. And yes, there have been tests. If you guys go watch that video, I don't know if you remember this in that documentary, but they kind of try to see how that theory would work. And they show you, like, there's a test, and they kind of get closer to just a small rock of magnetite, of that lava.
Oh, yes.
And they show the compass needles, like, no joke, they get close to it, and the compass's needle deflecting when it's placed near those rocks. So imagine a whole volcano size of magnetite, what that can do to a plane.
Yeah, which also leads me into the somewhat of a total different thing. Isn't it wild that we have enough magnetic force within the Earth?
Yeah.
That we can use a little piece of compass that's made out of a certain right. metal that the needle always points north?
No, I see what you're saying. Isn't that what wild? Is that what they use a compass with?
That's how a compass works, yeah.
I did not know that.
The needle is used because of the pole or right. something within yeah. the Earth. I used to know more about it, but... Right. Not a Boy Scout anymore. But yeah, that's no matter which way you turn your compass, the needle is always pointing north.
Right.
So that's how you read a map, is actually by your map will always have a legend that shows north.
Right.
So you set your compass, turn it to which way you're facing. That right. way you're facing north. And then you can actually figure out using your map where you're walking, what is around you. That's kind of how you...
Oh,
you know.
I never knew that. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So that's magnetite.
Oh, it almost looks like obsidian.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Which we bought on our trip.
We sure did. So now, in 1980, the 400-foot auxiliary ship Poet sank off the coast of Daytona Beach. In 1991, a commuter flight vanished off the coast of Georgia. And in 2018, a Piper PA-46 vanished en route from South Carolina to the Bahamas, which these are just a few examples of disappearances that we know of and are recorded to this day. Now, geophysics professor Justin Revenaugh suggests that the Earth's magnetic field is actually shifting and that the Bermuda Triangle, as we know it, may also be moving along with it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Did not know this.
I know either. When I saw that, I was like, dang it. Please.
No, stay where you are.
Yeah, I'm
stay
like, don't put. Hit us. Just stay in the ocean. But if the magnetic North Pole moves, so does the area of the magnetic anomaly. So obviously, if the Earth is like shifting and there's
then everything else,
everything is going to shift with this. Yeah. And even he gives the example of the Northern Lights and their magnetic field shift, which we've experienced ourselves.
Yes.
Because now the magnetic field shift we've experienced has shifted just alone with the fact that people in Florida just last year were able to see and witness the Northern Lights in their backyard. Remember
that?
Which
is wild. Yeah. Absolutely insane.
And that's why they're saying that clearly the Earth is shifting, right? And it also makes me think back to Pangea, you know, like I mentioned.
When it was all,
in the last episode. Yeah, when I mentioned in that episode of the Brown Mountain Lights where we were all as one and now here we are. And we're always hearing constantly about certain, you know, Florida, for example, apparently is shifting, like things are getting denser, things aren't and stuff like that. Even in New York City, we keep hearing like every year it sinks an inch. I'm like, okay, well.
Which is also crazy. Once again, another quick little history thing on New York City. That whole island didn't used to be that big.
Right, exactly.
And it's actually crazy. Even the Lower East Side, up until I think it was the last 40 years, mm-hmm. the Lower East Side was not actually as big as it is.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, and some of it I know is like man-made, but also
a lot of it, yeah.
But also you got to think about it. I mean, things are still going to shift even if it's man-made. So same thing goes with like the Northern Lights, which when I was researching and I saw that that's what he was giving an example, I'm like, dude, that's so true. Because no joke, how is it that in order to see the Northern Lights, you'd have to go to Alaska and now I can actually see it in my backyard? That's
crazy.
You
always had to be Canada and above.
Right.
And now...
people are able to witness it in their backyard, wherever they are. It's insane. But anyways, now imagine that you have a compass, right? And a magnet. And if you move the magnet, the compass needle moves with it too. So the Earth's magnetic field is like a giant magnet, and if that moves, the areas that it affects moves as well, just like a compass. So theory five, there could be unsolved mysteries and random disappearances without our final theory, which of course plays into the paranormal realm of alien abductions.
Oh, we love this.
Yes. We're coming into the alien abductions. We're talking time portals and even remnants of Atlantis.
Ooh, okay. We like Atlantis.
We like Atlantis, right?
Zeus.
But there's no solid evidence for any of them either, of course. Now, something super interesting that I learned and I need to mention because I'm kind of shocked. I'm shocked by this finding, is that there's a road called the Bimini Road. Have you ever heard of it before?
I have not.
Okay. Well, the Bimini Road is a submerged rock formation near Bimini Island off of the coast of North Bimini in the Bimini Chain of Islands, Bahamas. Okay. So this is it, this is smack down in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle, yeah.
Yeah. Let me show you. Okay. So it's roughly half a mile long. So not that long. It's pretty short.
Yeah, pretty short.
But it's a linear structure under the water composed of limestone blocks in the ocean. And no joke, some believe it's a man-made structure, which when I show you them, no joke, they look like man-made with how perfect they look. It looks almost like cobblestone.
Let me show you. I'm excited to see this. No, that's too...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get into it, but
it looks like they were laid there.
Right. Now, historians speculate that perhaps the road is part of the ancient pyramids or even possibly linked to Atlantis, because it even looks like it could be the entryway of like the highway to it, to the Atlantis or something, right? Because it's like this huge cobblestone.
Yeah.
Like I just showed you. It looks like huge cobblestone road under the water. It's just so eerie, but this just adds all to the mystery. And with that being said, with these theories, some people think that that also has ties to magnetic anomalies in the Bermuda Triangle of alien technology. Because if you think about it, right. And just looking at it, it's just so strange.
It really is. But we also just went to the Mayan ruins, and the guy showed us. Mayan ruins.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy showed us how they used to carry all the rocks and everything. And some of those ruins are even bigger than the Giza pyramids, Giza.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, to me, I also now wonder. It makes me wonder. Yeah, somebody. It looks like somebody intentionally laid it there,
right?
Like not even alien, but
these.
These
are huge. Like you can see, because there's people that go, what is it, scuba diving?
Right? Oh, yeah. I want to go do this now.
Yeah, that people go scuba diving around this area. And no joke, these are ginormous. I mean, and it's like a road. You can see it from above if you're flying over it and you know exactly like where to look. You can see it perfectly from above. And it just looks like a stretch of road.
That's crazy.
Kind of like tire tracks, but ginormous tire tracks.
I want to swim down, like knock three times.
Oh my god!
Imagine it opens.
I'd be like, "All right, let us know. let me send you the microphone so we can capture your."
I need Bluetooth.
No joke. So they believe that extraterrestrial activity is to blame for the disappearances, suggesting alien abductions, underwater alien bases, which makes these bases believed to be used for observation, or maybe they're portals to other dimensions. And if you think about it, what have we learned recently from the government?
That aliens do exist. And Tom was right.
Yes, but aliens exist where? In the ocean as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was it called? Like a OFO or something?
Something
like that?
I forgot. I was like UFI? No. IFO?
Oh, wait, no. I think it's something
like that.
Yeah.
Yes. But they have confirmed that there are things that they've seen in the ocean, and so they're considered UFOs. Yeah. Which that to me, I'm like, okay, I'm not.
You saw that?
So creepy. Doesn't help that we're
Zeus. Relax.
It doesn't help that we're right next to the balcony.
Zeus is.
Well, he's
water god, right?
No, you're talking about Poseidon.
Poseidon.
Yeah, yeah.
My bad. I keep mentioning Zeus.
Zeus is the.
Everyone listening is probably like, what a freaking idiot.
I know. We're like, I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. We all get things wrong sometimes. Yeah, that was so creepy, especially since we're recording right next to the balcony and it just looks like pitch black outside. I'm trying not to look outside, so.
Hello, is anyone out there?
So these point to the unexplained vanishings and anecdotal sightings of the strange lights as Christopher Columbus apparently wrote down, you know, balls of fire. However, with that being said, it's also crucial for me to emphasize that there are no scientific evidence to support the UFO theories. Okay. So there's nothing to, but, you know, we all love a good conspiracy. So the vast majority of scientists attribute the disappearances in the Bermuda Triangle to natural phenomenon, human error, or other unexplainable factors. While these peculiar tales definitely add to the area's mystique, these theories do remain firmly in the realm of speculation and theory. Okay, so...
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, fun to think about it, though.
Yeah.
You know?
In the words of Johnny Depp, Aquaman!
What?
Remember during the trial and the recording, and he was just like, really drunk, yeah. And he was just like, Aquaman!
Yes. And so... I want to mention, too, with like we were talking earlier with the modern cruise ships and modern aircraft, since they have now very advanced navigation systems and weather forecasting. So clearly they can navigate through this area a lot safer than they could like 30 behind years ago. But they still respect the area's reputation. The U.S. Coast Guard monitors the area very vigilantly, but they don't treat it as inherently more dangerous than any other shipping lanes. So more traffic means more chances for accidents, but they don't believe in paranormal activity. And of course, they're not going to. They're going to be more on the scientific realm. But one thing for sure, and that's my thing too. It's like there's a lot of shipping channels through the Bermuda because, you know, there's the cargo ships, there's ships, there's planes.
So many cruise ships.
Imagine the foot traffic there.
The next one we take, I want to try to find one that goes out of like Port Canaveral, mm-hmm. because then by later that evening, we could maybe stay up and actually see us on the map go through
the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. And haven't we left from Port Canaveral on other cruise ships before? Yeah. So yeah,
we went on, I think it was Disney was the one that we did out of Port Canaveral.
Yeah.
And the other two went out of Fort Lauderdale, and those both had to have gone through.
They definitely did. That area. Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, whatever is happening, I know what is happening outside, really.
I don't know. I think somebody keeps flipping their light switch on and off, shining in our balcony.
It's freaking us out. But whatever is happening in the Bermuda Triangle, there is definitely more going on than we can even fathom, to be honest. But it's important for me to mention that although the Bermuda Triangle is known for its spooky stories of ships and planes vanishing, making it this giant big Dorito chip of mystery.
I still love the Dorito chip of mystery.
It's also a super busy area for travel, like we were talking about. Because imagine it's like a really... And let me give you an example here, because I remember I was trying to understand like shipping channels and what's going on in the Bermuda. Because to me, I'm like... Okay, like, well, there's a couple ships going out there throughout the year. Like, it's really not like that. There's a lot more to it than what we think.
More than just one or two ships.
Exactly. Right. So here's my example here. Okay. So imagine a really crowded. Oh, what the hell is that? Oh, it's It's getting really. I know it's the TV reflection, and it's getting really spooky on the ship right now, guys.
Oh my God! There's somebody outside in the water playing tennis.
Stop. Okay, here's my example. So imagine it's like a really crowded city street. And when you have lots of cars and buses going down a street, you're more likely to see accidents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if the street isn't particularly dangerous itself, you're still going to see being busier means more accidents, right?
That was a good comparison. Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And the Dorito chip.
And the Dorito chip, exactly. Now, the ocean, there's also some wild weather, right? Like sudden storms and strong currents, which can cause problems for boats and planes, just like in any other parts of the ocean, though. And sometimes we don't really know what happened to those missing things because the ocean is so huge and deep. So, honestly, there could be a lot more missing that we know of. We just...
Amelia Earhart.
But she's one that's recorded that she didn't go missing in the Bermuda Triangle, but she is one of the most popular vanishing planes that we don't know of. And we just don't know what happened. Because imagine scaling the whole ocean. It's just, you can't.
And she was the first. That in itself is insane to think about as well. But then she just completely vanished without a trace.
Exactly. So imagine that. The U.S. Coast Guard, who pretty much is the ocean police, say that the Bermuda Triangle isn't any more dangerous than any other busy ocean areas. And fun fact, insurance companies who know a lot about the risk don't charge extra for boats or planes that go through there either.
They're like, you go missing? No filed
no,
insurance.
But like, so even though the Bermuda Triangle does have the reputation for its mystery, the numbers don't show that it's losing more ships and planes than any other busy ocean spots. It's more just...
There's just more focus, it seems.
Yeah,
like,
there's more... It's more famous because for its unexplained stories and, you know, how many things actually have disappeared that we know of thus far, you know, than other parts of the ocean. You don't hear like, oh my God, the missing Dead Sea. There, you know, it's just not as popular as the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, makes sense.
And with all those missing planes and ships back then, like 30 years ago, clearly to them, we didn't have many answers like we do now, especially now the technology we have now and the information we have, the touch of our fingertips is very different. So
we also, I feel like, track a lot better too, in the sense of we, even if the numbers increased, I feel like that could also be part of, hey, back then they might have not been tracking all of the travel that was going through there.
And you have to think about, we're not, the information that we're getting on the news, oh my God, if we, I mean, now we know everything and everything that's going on.
Oh yeah.
So back then, it's like one person went missing in a plane. It's like, what's going on? That's really weird. That's strange. You know, there's obviously a lot of paranormal theories, a lot of UFOs, and all those conspiracies as well that people love to hone in on. But so, what are your thoughts, Tom? What's your theory? Which one do you believe in more?
Honestly, just because I grew up diving so into this, the magnetism.
Oh, the magnetite.
Yeah,
that seems like
because then I also think of was there debris or. Or was it something that threw off ships or planes? And did it happen as a two-for-one in some cases where a plane, all of a sudden they're flying, I think it's called IVR or IVRF or something like that, is where you have to basically rely on your instruments.
Yeah.
Or sight or visual or something. Imagine one of them, all of a sudden they come crashing down because they don't realize they're crashing. Right. Or they just lose air. And then all of a sudden they crash into a boat.
Right.
Plane and boat not, taken out together.
And you're not that experienced of a pilot or you're not that experienced as a sailor. And in those moments, you're just like, man, I don't know what to do. Before you know it, you're dead.
You're gone.
Sinking ship or you're plane down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that too. I mean, to be honest, though, I will say the Bimini Road thing is a little bit strange.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, that's really weird. I'm going to post photos, but when you guys see it, like, I definitely feel, you know, I mean,
I like
the Lost Atlantis City.
I like that one.
Yeah, the Lost Atlantis City is a thing. So,
and I don't know if you know this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 4-star or 5-star, whatever the hell it is, resort in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Called Atlantis.
Interesting. I mean, I think that's where they believe 100%. was, and there are remnants of a city underwater. I mean, even where we live right now, we live by a lake, and no joke, we were told that the lake is haunted because they actually
sunk.
Yeah, they actually sunk a town that was there before. And to me, I'm like, how many times have we actually done this? With not there alone, but just everywhere in the world, if you think about it. And so the mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle remain, swirling like currents around us, whether it's magnetic anomalies, methane bubbles, or something else entirely. One thing's for sure, the ocean holds secrets we may never fully fathom. Thank you for joining us today on Special Macabre Mondays episode from Cruise Cabin 13. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode, and keep your life vests close, just in case we keel over with more mysteries on our next port of call. You can find
<You're so>
us. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
We'd love to hear from you. Seriously, guys, I know you hear me say this every single week, but for real, if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you think it may be, send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com, or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode from Cruise Cabin 13. Under a night sky full of unanswered questions, we bid you a chilling good night.
Good night and enjoy sailing away.
Stay tuned. More mysteries just around the corner. Until then, see you later.
Bye now.
Bye, guys. We'd like to acknowledge the following sources that contributed to the research and information shared on this episode: the Library of Congress, Christopher Columbus's logbook, NOAA on the Sargasso Sea, Naval History and Heritage Command, Flight 19, History Channel documentaries on the Bermuda Triangle, you can find it on YouTube, Ancient Origins, Bimini Road, and various geological studies on magnetite in Bermuda. We encourage our listeners to explore these resources for further information on the Bermuda Triangle and its many mysteries. And if you guys find any other theories, feel free to share them with us at Macabre Mondays.